It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
Breathe.
I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming. Welcome. Hi, everybody. It's Summer here, and we're ready to go for another episode of Flow Dreaming coming your way right now. It's going to be a pretty interesting episode, I'm hoping, because we actually have a special guest today, which I don't always do, but today we do. So I'm going to bring her on, and we will have just a roaring hour, a fun hour, an insightful, I hope, and sort of, you know, sensitive hour, because my guest is actually Ariel Ford. And some of you remember her, know her, still follow her, have followed her for many years. She is such a leading light in our personal development community. Ariel's a love and relationship expert. She's an author of more than 11 books, including one of my favorites, Wabi Sabi Love, but also The Soulmate Secret, which you can find, by the way, at soulmatesecret.com. And indeed, Ariel's sister, Debbie Ford, is also someone that I had known for a very long time. I'd say both of these wonderful women live near me in my community, and we ran into each other many, many, many years ago, at least 20 years ago. And some of you know that Debbie did pass, but she left us a little Easter egg, a little surprise. So I want to bring on Ariel right now. Ariel, please welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Summer. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm just enjoying the summer. Everything's all good in my world.
I know. And we're recording this on a holiday week and everything. So thank you for being here.
Oh, happy to do it.
Yeah. So I was just giving everybody a little lead up in what we're doing today on Flow Dreaming. It's a bit unusual, but I wanted to kind of let everybody know what Debbie left behind and kind of give her a little homage, you know? So I said she left an Easter egg, but I kind of left it at that. And I thought maybe you could just jump in and we could just start talking about what happened and what you found and go from there.
Well, it's a wild and crazy story. And what happened was about 18 months ago, I got a call from our mutual friend, James von Prague, who is the world's leading talks to dead people guy. And he's been a longtime family friend. And he called to tell us that he had recently moved to San Diego. And he wanted me and my husband, Brian, and my mom to come for a visit, see his new house, and then he would give us a reading with Debbie. So, of course, we said yes.
Because
he doesn't do private readings anymore. I mean, you can't even buy that. It was just such a gift from him. So we saw his house, which, of course, was spectacular, and then we sat down in his office for the reading. And Debbie came through instantly. And the very first thing she said was, "Ariel, you have to write a prayer book with me." And I said to her, "No way."
What?
I don't want to write my own books, let alone try to figure out how to write your books. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And she was very insistent, and I was very adamant this was not going to happen. And then we went on to other topics, and other dead relatives came through, and it was a very lively, interesting reading. And then, you know, every 10 minutes, Debbie would come back with, "You have to write a prayer book with me." Well, this went on for a long time. And finally, I said to James, you know, she's never going to leave. And she's never going to leave us alone until we say yes. But you're going to have to help me because you're the one who can hear her, not me. Yeah. And he said, "Okay, we'll figure it out." We finally said, "Okay, Debbie, don't know how this is going to happen, but yes." So as we were driving home that day, my husband said, "You know, I took your sister to so many doctor's appointments and her chemo treatments, and we spent so much time together. And he said, I have this vague memory of her telling me that she had written some prayers. Why don't you call her office, and maybe they have copies of them, and that at least would be the start of a prayer book. So I thought, okay, that sounds like a good idea to me. I got home. I sent off a one-sentence email that says, do you by chance have copies of any prayers that Debbie wrote? And I got an email back that said, oh, we can do better than that. She wrote an entire manuscript. It's attached. Now, what was shocking about this is I was her one and only literary agent for her entire career. So you would think if she had written a book about prayer, I would have known about it. Mm. But at that moment, I didn't know about it. So I opened it up. I read it start to finish. It was 200 pages, totally edited, beautifully done, the best thing she's ever written. And I was baffled and blown away. So I picked up the phone and I called her editor at Harper, who also happens to be my editor, Deepak Chopra's editor, Marianne Williamson's editor, and James Von Prague's editor.
Wow.
And before I could even tell him why I was calling, he said to me, oh, Ariel, I'm so glad you called me. It's like, why? He said, I've been feeling so guilty. For the last several years, I've just had all this guilt because your sister always wanted to write a prayer book, and I always talked her out of it, and now I regret it. Mm. And I said, well, Gideon, check your inbox. I just sent you the book. And of course, he read it, and a few days later, bought it. And then a couple of months ago, the book came out, and it's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within.
Mm. Love that. So what do you think prompted her to want to write a book of prayers?
Well, it turns out that when she was writing this book, she had talked to her editor about it, and he told her he didn't want it, which is why she never talked to me about it. So that's how that came to be. But the book is not just a prayer book. What it really is a very prescriptive book about how prayer saved her life when she was recovering from drug addiction and how she has used prayer ever since to manifest everything in her life, to really heal all the wounded parts of her soul. Mm-hmm. So the book has the narrative of her personal journey. It has original prayers that she wrote, along with her favorite prayers from Emmett Fox and Rumi and Marianne Williamson and Yogananda and others. And then at the end of each chapter is exercises of how to utilize prayer in your own life. So being the teacher that she is, just because she no longer has a body doesn't mean that she has stopped teaching.
Yes.
And this book was the next step in her career. And thank God for James Von Prague, or it would still be sitting, you know, in the back of somebody's computer right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not surprising. It is surprising. I mean, it's kind of miraculous, but it's also not surprising in another way because that's how these things work. How did, you know, I remember when Debbie was going through her final months and year, I wonder, did she write any part of this book while she was facing cancer? I mean, it's a very personal question for me because I went through cancer a few years later. So, you know, I just wonder.
Yeah, no, the book was done. She wrote, I asked Julie, who owns and runs the Ford Institute now, you know, when did she write this book? And it was, she had been diagnosed, but it was about 3 years before she passed. And she wrote it in response to a very bad relationship breakup, not necessarily the cancer.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That was what prompted her to write it, because she went back to a more intensive prayer practice when she was going through what was a very difficult, emotional, dramatic time in her life.
Yeah. And then she had to, of course, go through, you know, her cancer, which I'm sure having those prayers, I mean, I guess just the whole ability or the whole time period where she was, you know, kind of, I hate to say inspired, but you know, to have a bad relationship inspire it. But it did. It inspired her to get in and get deeper and kind of grab that faith, which I'm guessing probably helped really carry her, you know, in the few years ahead.
Yeah.
So I think divine timing.
Because, yeah. She actually lived 2.5 years longer than the doctors said she would live.
Yeah.
And she never really complained. She was never got into a victim thing or poor me or why me. And really, at the very end, she said that, you know, she was really satisfied with her life, that she mm-hmm. felt like she had fulfilled her purpose, that mm-hmm. in fact, she had even gotten a little bored. And, yeah. you know, so she never, you know, what I think happened is I think before she came into physical body this lifetime, you know, when you're, you know, signing up for what, you know, what your major karma is going to be and all of that, I think she raised her hand for everything, you know, like just throw it all at me and I'll
just get it all over with all at once. Yes.
Right.
I think a lot of us have done that actually. Do you feel that even now you and she communicate, talk? I mean, has it continued?
Yeah.
'Cause you're so prolific. I mean, you also are, you know, this huge light with all of your books and your work in the world of love and relationships and bringing, you know, you bring people together and she brought people back together with their own, you know, darker selves. You guys are both in a kind of relationship field.
Yeah, we had really parallel kind of careers. I was working on helping people, you know, find love, keep love, be love. And her focus was really on self-love and self-healing and worthiness and all of that. And, you know, since that day that we had that reading with James, my connection and communication with her got much stronger. So now not only can I hear her, I trust what I'm hearing because she was talking to me previously, but I never really trusted it. I thought I was making it up.
Right. I'm just hoping to hear. I'm just hoping. It's just my wishes. Something very common.
And so now, you know, her personality hasn't really changed. She's still kind of demanding and pushy and wants her own way. And but at the same time, I witness miracles that occur in my life that I know she was behind. You know, I'll just give you one example. About 2 years after she died, I got this very big and very unexpected tax bill, which totally freaked me out. And it was like, I think it was like $7,300 and something in change. And a couple of days later, I got a totally unexpected royalty check that was in $50 of the amount that I owed. It was, you know, completely unpredictable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just telling you, don't go into that kind of lack thinking around this.
Right. Those kinds of fun things happen all the time. Or, you know, she'll often give me messages to give to other people. And I'll call them up and I'll say, okay, this is going to sound weird and it doesn't make any sense to me, but Debbie wanted me to tell you X, Y, Z. And then they burst into tears and go, oh my God, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's just, so she's still very present and working away. And from what I understand, they don't sleep much on the other side. So I get calls and emails.
Just about to ask, like, do you have any insight? What's going on over there?
Yeah, she's busy teaching because people are always telling me, oh, Debbie came to me in a dream, or I heard Debbie talk to me, or Debbie sent me a sign, or I never met Debbie, but I read her book, and then she told me to do ABC, and, you know. So, you know, from all of my understanding, whether I hear her whispering in my ear, or I see her in a dream, or I get signs, from what I can tell, she's on fire, on purpose, and still teaching.
Wonderful. And I suppose you and I'll be the same way someday, far in the future, when we are over there.
And the thing that's so great about that
is a stadium of us.
You know, right. I have no fear of dying at all, mm-hmm. you know, because there are just so many cool people I know that are already there on the other side that will be fun to play with and see again. The yeah. only fear I still deal with is I don't want to suffer. I have a fear of suffering.
Yeah.
You know, lingering and suffering. That's like, you know, I have to get past that one. But, you know, if I leave the planet today, you know, not only have I had a great life, I recently read a book that is talking about how, you know, at this point, I'm old enough to die. You know, it's actually okay. There's no need to, you know, I have all these friends that want to live to be 160. It's like, why? Why would you want to be 160? Everybody you will have ever loved will be dead. Mm. You know? You're going to make new friends at 125? I don't know.
You may as well move on to the next party. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I feel similar. I think a lot of us, I mean, everybody, I think, everybody, you know, doesn't want to go through suffering. And especially when we've lost people, I've lost, you know, several people close to me to cancer and I saw their suffering. You know, I it was very real and, you know, it's really in your face. And you wonder why in the very end do you get this kind of final little, you know, jab from the universe? Like, what's that about? You know, life was hard enough. Why that extra suffering at the end there makes you really wonder. But then I don't know, maybe it's part of our exit strategy, you know, just kind of a topping off of everything that we've learned, you know, who are we, kind of a testing your mettle, because everything you are is what you're bringing right to the end. And, you know, how do you go through that kind of experience? I don't know. I'm just playing around with ideas.
I don't think we're supposed to know, you know, everybody's going to go from something. You know, I mean, look at Ramana Maharshi. You know, he went from stomach cancer and, you know, Yogananda just lifted off suddenly and, you know, other people linger for years. So I'm just hoping when it is my time, it'll be really quick.
Well, ask Debbie for a little help.
Yeah, I think
help me make that happen, honey.
Yeah, right. Yeah, put me on the rocket blaster. You know, no high drama. You know,
no. Just a nice, easy one. Oh, how funny. Here we are talking about death, but I think that, you know, obviously because we're talking about Debbie and Debbie's death and what she's doing now, we can't help ourselves getting into a little, you know. I don't want to say morbid. I don't think death is morbid.
No, it doesn't feel morbid, does it? I mean, it kind of feels really uplifting. I mean, just think about all the people we know mutually that are there. I mean, it's going to be quite a welcoming committee.
Wayne will be there, Louise will be there, and Debbie will be there. Lots and lots and lots of people. Oh, boy.
And just think about all our pets on the other side. I have my favorite cat, JB. I can't wait to see JB again. I'm really excited to see him.
Oh, that's true. Gosh, I'm going to have a ton. I'm going to have a farm over there, apparently. Not to say I go through a lot of pets, but I've had a lot of pets.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's funny. So, you know, getting this book out there and, you know, getting this message of prayer and faith and reconnection, you know, who are the people that are reading this book? I mean, is it her regular fans, her, you know, the people who loved her work in life and Shadow Process and all of that? Or is it kind of reaching out to a new group? You know, maybe people who are really suffering or...
Yeah, it's kind of both. I mean, the thing, you know, of course, the hardcore Debbie fans that are all, you know, still getting her newsletters and taking the Shadow Process are loving the book, another connection with her. But the book is really... really helpful for anybody who's in a 12-step program, who's in recovery, who's trying to overcome an addiction, because that was so much a part of her impetus for personal growth. And the truth is, we're all addicts, whether it's a sugar addiction, an Amazon one-click addiction, a heroin opioid addiction. You know, the truth is, we all have addictions, whether they're hard or soft. And the thing that this book really shows you how to do is how to use prayer to, you know, to stay within your sobriety, whatever that looks like for you, and how to really grow your soul and grow your life in positive ways. And what I recommend people do is first get a copy of Your Holiness, which is at bookstores and online and at debbieford.com, but then read it front to cover initially, And then use it on a daily basis. Just randomly open to any page and see what the message for the day is for you. You know, that I think is a really great use of the book.
Yeah, it reminds me, you know, a lot of us have, you know, morning rituals or practices where we'll set up to, well, I'm going to journal for a few minutes, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to flow dream, you know, or I'll read an inspirational passage. Feels like this would be something that you could incorporate into your, I don't know, your morning ritual or evening.
Yeah, or any time of day, you know. In the middle of the day, you're having a meltdown, you know.
And I agree with that part about addictions, you know, and how everybody has something. And whenever I think about addictions and, you know, work with people and talk with people, it's usually coming down to some form of self-comfort. I mean, it may have devolved into self-abuse, but originally it was there for self-comfort, you know, that extra cookie or the gambling or the wine or the purchasing things online, like you just said. I had to laugh on that one. You know, there's this need to kind of nurture ourselves and give something to ourselves or soothe, you know, self-soothe. And
yeah, and it's actually a form of drug addiction as well, because when we hit our pleasure center, our brain is releasing dopamine.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's, you know, playing solitaire online or having that extra piece of chocolate, you're right, we are trying to self-soothe. And you know, who can blame us? Life is really stressful. I mean, it used to be that we had more control over the stress in our lives. You know, we could decide if we were going to go to work at a certain place or interact with certain people, and we had more control. But now, my belief is the world is so out of control, so chaotic, so scary, so stressful, that even if you've got yourself together and you're managing your own life, the truth is we're living in a collective field. And we're feeling everybody else's stresses. So for those of us that are highly sensitive, which is pretty much everybody we know, you know, we get into the energy field and we can't help but react to what's in the field. It's just like swimming in dirty water. Right? Just because if we're a clean person and we get in the dirty water, we're going to come out dirty. So what I have found for me is that I am taking salt baths nearly every day to dissolve those energies. I'm cutting cords, not with anybody specifically, but just with whatever bad energies or negative energies have glommed onto me. And I'm trying to not put any excess negative energy out into the field, which is really hard because I have developed the world's biggest potty mouth when it comes to watching a certain you-know-who in the White House speaking on TV. I won't put them onto your airwaves, but I can really go for it. So when I do that, which I find is a good release for me because I have to get it out, I then start to breathe out seeds of love to the world as an antidote to all the rage I've been spewing.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. Like with self-soothing, you know, there are alternate methods, which are sending seeds of love out into the world, right? Or prayer, or, you know, healthier ways to still give yourself those good feelings, especially in response to the things that, like you just said, are kind of hurting us. So I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy out there. So I'm all about self-soothing. And, you know, for me, my most favorite form of doing that is tapping, because it's fast and easy and I can do it anywhere. So I find that's really useful.
Yeah, and it brings you right back. So tell me, I know we're going to be wrapping up our little chat here soon, but I just want to know, what are you doing right now in your life? What's thrilling you or focusing you, or where are you going next?
Well, you know, my friend Claire Zammit and I have just created a new 12-week online course called The Love Codes, and it's specifically for smart, successful, single women who are ready to manifest a soulmate. And it's 12 weeks and 30-plus hours, and we have presented the secret sauce on how to get past all your love blocks and your old hurts, how to open up to new love, rewrite your love story, how to actually date and mate, and all the things you need to do to make it happen, and where all the conscious men are.
Yeah.
And we have a free 75-minute webinar that has a lot of information about how to do this, and it's at soulmatepassion44.com.
Mm-hmm. The 44 is nice. Is that on purpose?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
yeah, but it's really fun. I really love teaching single women how to find love because so many of them are living in no possibility. And I live in the world where every single day I get at least one, if not two, emails from students who are now madly in love, engaged. I've had to, I've become an officiant because I get invited to do so many weddings. In fact, we're doing one at the Glider Port on Saturday. we did one at Balboa Park last week. We did one at Coronado Island a few weeks ago. I've been flown to New Orleans to do weddings. So it's really, really fun. I just want to tell anybody listening, if you're single and you don't want to be, go to soulmatepassion44.com. You don't have to be single. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I think I saw some pictures of you on Facebook recently. You and Brian were celebrating something amazing, bathtubs and gorgeous views and just loving, living up everything.
We were in Santorini, Greece for our 20th anniversary. That's where we went on our honeymoon, and it was spectacular.
Oh,
have you been there?
No, it's on my short list. It's on my short list, but I'm dragging two kids along with me now, so it's not going to be
quite
as romantic as yours.
That's all right. Bring the kids, but just know that Santorini is believed to be the lost continent of Atlantis. And they have an entire archaeological dig there where they've dug up the cities, and you can see how advanced they were. So energetically, it's the most soothing, peaceful, stunning place I've ever been. I think you would just go crazy for it.
Yeah. All right. Short list. Nice little tour of Greece, including Santorini. Well, Ariel, thank you. This was really a nice catching up. And I know I'll just see you popping around San Diego here, just normally crossing paths like we do.
That would be fun.
Yeah. And I encourage everybody, go check out your Love Summit. I mean, I've known you to be really explaining and helping and teaching about relationships for years and years and years and years. So if there's any expert to talk to, it's going to be you and Claire too, of course. So I would get behind that too. Wow.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you for sharing me with your audience. I so appreciate it. And let's go do a beach walk someday soon.
That sounds wonderful. I need to get out. Take me to the beach. All right, Ariel, take care. And thank you so much. We're going to go to a little break here, and we will be back for more of episode number 568, The People We Love and Why We Do Anything at All, right after this. Imagine if there were a store where you could walk down the aisle and pop some self-love into your basket. Or how about tons of clients? Or maybe you're more in the mood for some relationship repair. Or how about more money monthly? These are all flow dreams, and you can literally put them in your basket. You can use them, feel them, take them inside you, and become them. Become these things inside so that the universe starts offering them to you on the outside, in your life. You tell the universe who you are by feeling it first. You can find all of these flow dreams. I have more than 100 of them. They're at flowdreaming.com in my shop. Browse through, pick the things that you want to become, and put them in your cart. Now, you can find the Flow Dreaming Shop both on a regular computer as well as on your mobile device. On your mobile device, you can either use your browser to go to flowdreaming.com, or you can download my free app where you can browse through, listen to samples of all of the flow dreams that I've just been talking about. So go check them out. Choose a few playlists. Get started. Pick up my free kit that teaches you how to flow dream while you're at it. And that way you can really get started changing your life. Now let's get back to the program. In case you missed it, the number to call to talk to me live is the U.S. number 1-760-456-7277. Flow Dreaming airs live on Tuesdays, so check flowdreaming.com for my current live broadcast time. Again, reach me at 1-760-456-7277. Now, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Flow Dreaming. That was a fun little interview, just kind of catching up with Ariel. Just wanted to see what she was doing. I ran into her at a garden party about a month ago, and we were just talking. And it's funny because, like, I think I put in the show description, gosh, I think we started, you know, crossing each other's paths at least 20 years ago, before I ever even worked at Hay House or ran in this world that I'm in now. I remember meeting her through the original magazine that I published many, many, many years ago in a whole different field. But she was a writer and she was in town. And that was, I think, our first connection. And of course, you know, after Ariel, you know, I was able to work with Debbie over the years at Hay House, especially working with her on all kinds of audio projects. And I just remember her as being a really generous person. And like her sister says, yes, she's got a bold personality, but she would do things like invite, I remember once she invited our whole radio crew over to her home for an evening party up on a high hilltop. And it was just so beautiful and just such a considerate thing to do. You know, we were just the people staffing the station for her, you know, no reason really to invite us into your home and, you know, just do that little extra. And I still have a little necklace, in fact, she gave me. It's got a picture of Ganesh on it that I wear sometimes. And every time I do, I think about her and, you know, how I have this little token. So think about this. You love people in your life. You work with people. Give them a little token of you. Give them a little extra. You know, be that generous person who just does that little extra thing, because someday you will be remembered for it. I think it's really important how we are remembered. So obviously Debbie left us with a final book of prayer and faith, you know, just faith, get out there, stay connected, be connected. If you can't do anything else, at least you can pray, right? If you can't get anything else. So that was nice. That was really, really lovely. I hope you do follow up and go check out Ariel's work too. I know we talked a lot about her sister, but like I said, Ariel is a pretty amazing lady with relationships, and she and Brian have been together just forever. So they have a lot to say. Kind of like my husband and I, we've been together 30 years now, 31, I think. So we have that in common. Okay, so I would like to spend the rest of the show today just sort of taking your calls, finding out what's going on in your life. Is there anything I can help you with or you want to talk about? Anything we can add a little sprinkle of flow or good energy into, or even on our topic today of, I don't know, it's kind of starting to be around faith and life and death and, you know, how we are choosing to live, how we're choosing to be in it. So go ahead and give me a call live, 760-456-7277. That is our live number. If you're listening to this non-live, by the way, the time that the show airs live is every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time. That's 3 Eastern. And I think over there in the UK, it's something around 8 p.m. And in Australia, it's a ridiculous time in the morning. So you probably aren't going to be calling me live from Australia unless you're getting home very, very late from some party, which you should definitely be in bed by then. All right. Let's see what Melody has to say. Hi, Melody from Ohio. How are you?
Hi. Good, Summer. How are you? It's actually Melanie.
Oh, Melanie. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Written up.
My our producer is rapidly changing it as you speak. Hey, have we ever talked before? How did you
we
get
have,
into flow
we
dreaming?
Have. Okay. Oh my goodness. Years. And as I'm sitting in my room, I'm wondering if I even have the first book I ever purchased of yours. It was kind of pink and orange on the outside, and it was talking about, I can't remember, I think it was my introduction to flow dreaming. Maybe it was a small, I can't remember, but it's been, I'd say at least 2008, if not earlier. So
oh my God.
would that be the right time for the book? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you're reminding me right now, I had a dream last night that I needed to re-release an updated version of my first book. And you saying this is like a little tinkle, tinkle from the universe, you know, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I'm listening. Everyone.
Higher ups. Well, you know, I'm sitting here with absolute goosebumps. This whole thing is a universal connection, because this morning I had no idea what your program was about today. I set you on my alarm last week because I wanted to listen to your call, and I set my alarm on my phone to call you today, and just hoping I would get in. And then, can I tell you the first thing I did when I woke up this morning? I started thinking about Debbie Ford, and I printed out her worksheets from when she was on Oprah years ago.
Wow.
On the shadow process. And my printer jammed up, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I went back to them. I said, I'll get back to them tonight when I have more time. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I did this morning. I picked up my phone. I was thinking about her and printed that out. What are the odds that I set my alarm last week to hear this message today?
Yeah. I want to add something even weirder onto that.
Okay.
I actually had a completely different show description up on our website until late last night sometime, when I updated it to reflect that Debbie was joining me today. Debbie and Ariel would be joining me today. So you really had no way of knowing, unless you happened to be poking around our website last night at midnight, but I doubt you were. So
I had no clue. The only thing that reminded me was my phone.
Oh.
I'm ready to cry. This is so crazy, because when Debbie died, I didn't know her personally. I had been reading her books, and I remember it was here in Ohio, and it was freezing, like bitter cold, like your nose hair freeze cold here. But the sun was shining in, and I remember reading whatever they wrote on social media about her and crying. And I said, well, I didn't say it. Something said, there's been a gap. You need to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Like with her passing, there was a hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the past couple years, what I've been going through was, unfortunately, a divorce, but very positive for my kids and I, and just things changing and changing. And, you know, I'm satisfied with my job, but never stepping into what I think I'm supposed to be doing more of. And I just this past couple weeks, I've been in the process of refinancing my house and getting my husband off the deed. And when I couldn't shut my brain off, I would listen to your flow dream, the greater you and guides. It's the old one, but it's the one that speaks to me so much.
Yeah, oldie.
And that's what's been, it's been getting me through every single day. And this morning I woke up and it was about Debbie, and I thought, what are the odds? Because as much as I know this is the next and right step, like this is the last thing that separates me from my 20 plus year marriage.
Yeah.
I also feel like I am stepping into this unknown that's all about me.
Yeah.
And I've been hanging on to my identity as this old person, you know, whether or not it's my addiction, I've held on to it for so long, this identity of being a military wife and the stressful marriage. And that was my identity. And now I'm stepping into this idea of me, and there's some hesitation of really just all being me. I love it.
I don't know that you even have a question. I think this is more like a validation. When we have a cluster of things happen like this, you know, like what just happened to you in the last 24
hours.
I'm ready
to cry.
it's sort of like the universe is saying, you don't have to ask the question, because we're just going to give you confirmation of the answer. And you don't have to know what we're answering, but just ping, 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 ping. It's just coming at you with me and with Debbie, with everything that you've been experiencing. It's like the universe, like Flo is telling you, hey, we're here. We know what's going on. Don't you fear, right? Just don't you fear. And absolutely. I have days like that too. I've been going through some 11-11 clusters the last couple of weeks. And it's just getting ridiculous. I'm like, oh, come on, universe. I mean, I know I'm a slow learner, but you're really overdoing it. You know, I'm getting it. I understand, you know, everything from license plates to pulling up. I was in LA a few days ago and driving past the building, I suddenly look over and it's 1-1-1-1-1-1, like, you know, so-and-so drive. So
how it is.
Here you are, realizing you are transitioning into this new being. And what you just said about letting yourself drop that old identity, I think is just so prescient. I mean, it's so insightful. And it's something that we forget to do because we identify ourselves as what we were or what we're used to being. But when we're going forward in the future, we have to start identifying ourselves as what we are becoming. And it's sometimes kind of scary to do that because we don't know what we're becoming. There's no sense of safety in that. But when we look backwards, we know exactly where we've been. So there's tons and tons of safety around that, right? So we're always kind of split between these two phases, the person we've been and the person we're becoming. And one is safe and one is not safe, but you have to go forward. It's not like you can go backwards, right? You can't.
No.
So you're experiencing what that's like to be a little unsafe. In a very good way.
Yeah. I feel like it's a birth in a way. I feel like, my gosh, this is because today I have a good relationship with my ex-husband and I know he's traveling, mm-hmm. but he popped in a place to sign over the deed. So mm-hmm. now it's just a matter of just the paperwork and oh my gosh. And we've been divorced for 3 years. So it was just part of our agreement that we had some things to be put in place before we could do this, but it's like, okay, this is it.
There's always a finale piece. There's always a capstone. And it often happens long after you think it will. It's sort of like that final little energetic connection. You didn't realize it, but over the last 3 years, you still had this little thread of something. There was always that little extra thing that had to be done, that little extra reason that you would still be having to interact. And now if you interact, it's probably going to be by choice, or I don't know, maybe you have kids or something, but
yeah, we do have kids.
There's that little extra thing. Yes. And that's what you're feeling, that little finale and capstone. So it sounds to me like you are really opening up to this idea that you have a voice and you perhaps are a leader and a teacher, and you are no longer in the support role, the strict support role that you've been in. Wife, mom, taking care of everyone. You have I'm just seeing greener pastures popped into my head. You have greener pastures, whatever that may mean. But feel into that because you're going to be doing something very interesting and different with your next 20 years. And it is not being the person that you have been. So I really encourage you to just like run like a little young foal into these greener pastures and begin to see yourself that way. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Yes, I've been ready. And there's always been something that like held me back or maybe I held on to keep me back in that safe place. And now I feel like there's no more back. It's like I'm being pushed in a beautifully divine, loving way, but it's like here. It's here.
And you're carrying everything with you from the past that you need for the new pasture. Think of it like that. None of that has gone away. You have a big stash of all of your experience and your wisdom and your knowledge and your suffering, everything you've been through. It's all still there. You just aren't going back and repeating those things that used to be. That's it. By the way, I want you to go listen to another episode because I think you'll recognize that you are not this person anymore. It's number 563. Backward looking girl.
Okay.
And you're going to recognize, I'm completely letting go of all of that. I'm not doing any of that now. Okay.
Oh, that is beautiful. Thank you, Summer. I think it was, it could not have been, like you said, more clear with the signs. I mean, I have no idea.
I don't even need to answer your questions. I mean, it's just like, you just being on here with me, this is your answer. You just got it. There you go. Okay, Melanie, gorgeous. Thank you so much for your call.
You,
go run into those pastures and figure out what's next. All right, take care.
I'm ready. Bye now. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, how cool is that? Talk about getting shivers. And you know what? I just looked at my clock telling me how many minutes I have left of the show. 11 minutes and 1 second. Seriously, this is ridiculous. It's getting crazy, these 11s. And we all have our favorite numbers. We'll just digress on this for a little bit. And by favorite, I mean the ones that seem foisted on us. I mean, my favorite number is actually 3. I never see 3s. I would love to see tons of 3s. I never see 3s. I only see 4, 4, 4, 4s and 1, 1, 1, 1s. You know, neither one of them are my particular favorite. I like 1s, actually. 4s, not so much. I have a little bit of synesthesia around 4s. So whenever I feel a 4, it's like a blue-gray color. It's just, it's not the best feeling. But nonetheless, I get them. They mean something. Anyway, so what I'd like to do for our last few minutes of today's show is I'm just feeling this urge right now to get us into a really positive head state, one where we kind of cultivate that faith that we've been talking about. I mean, Melanie said one of her favorite flow dreams to listen to is meeting your higher self and your guides. And that's interesting because we started the show with talking with Debbie about her faith. And I keep saying talking with Debbie. I feel like, Debbie, you're here. I know you're here. She's just waving. So let's kind of end it with that, you know, just getting us reconnected to our faith. So let's close our eyes. Let yourself go. Let yourself be and drift. Move into flow. Flow is a state of ease. It's a state of perfect alignment. It's a state of being. Like a little boat on a big, broad, placid ocean. Quiet, warm, gentle breeze. Maybe there's a sail, big billowy sail. And you are moving forward. You are moving into your future. You are moving into your next steps. You are moving into the next place in your life. The hours, minutes, days. As you look around outside, up above the big billowy sail with the blue, blue sky and the white clouds, you just have the sense that all of life, all of the universe, all of flow, all of everyone you love and who you've ever loved, anyone who's crossed over, physical, non-physical, you are surrounded. You're surrounded, you're adored. It's like sometimes you feel like you're being watched as if you're a mini-series and everyone on the other side is clapping and cheering and waiting for the next episode. What are you going to do next? Because you're alive. You're life. You're creating. You're entertaining. You're growing. You're pushing through. And everything is in support of you, wanting that for you, cheering you on, cheering you forward. And you look at these choices that you're making right now in your life, the directions you're deciding to go in, should I, shouldn't I? You see so many of them in front of you, like little splits in the road, little Y's in the road, little this way or that way, yes, no, here, there, should I, shouldn't I? And every day you're making choices toward these, moving in all of these directions in your relationship, at work, in your own heart, with your body. Every one of these leading you someplace new and different. Yet you know at the heart of it, it's all going to be all right. You have faith. You know you will always be moved back into the right position. You'll be always moved back into the right direction. Like a little horse that got out of its corral or stall, you'll be led back in. Come on, little pony. We are always led back. It's our natural destiny to unfold, grow, and become. So you let yourself remember this. You feel that connection that you have, that tug to the other side, to non-physical, to all that is. Always there for you. Always guiding you. You go ahead and hold that feeling as you return, even now, coming back from flow and opening your eyes. So, you know, what we just went into right there was a deeply emotional experience. Yes, there were some visuals. There were some things I asked you to see. But what I was really going for you to have that feeling state come up inside you. Because that's what a flow dream does, right? Today, we want to feel more connected to all that is, connected to the greater self, to God, to source. Just connected to the knowledge that we're being monitored in a good way. Monitored sounds bad, doesn't it? Like a security camera. But no, there's some safety in that feeling. That feeling that you're being looked after. So before I leave you today, I just want to point you in the direction of a few more resources. If you are needing, craving more of this in your life, maybe you did hear during the break in the middle, I have some really lovely playlists that will help you with these feelings, help you cultivate them and create them. You know, just like we suggested earlier, you can always add some prayer into your morning ritual. You can always add some inspirational reading into that ritual. You can add a flow dream, right? A little emotional escape, a 10-minute escape into that morning ritual where you are creating and becoming on behalf of yourself. So a great playlist is the Ask and I Will Receive playlist. I love that one. There's also Intuitive Guidance and Awakening. That one includes the one that Melanie listens to, where you get to connect with your higher self. And for those of you who have a more Christian-centric viewpoint, I did make a playlist for you too. It's called Heavenly Love, where we address God and we address Jesus and we bring in and kind of reconfirm our connection to them, you know, and our love of them and from them. So do check those out. They're all at flowdreaming.com. And of course, if you really want to go big on this, you might just want to come into Me School with me. And Me School is, in fact, enrolling right now. I've not really been mentioning it much, but I will start to more and more in the coming weeks ahead because, gosh, we have all kinds of great shows lined up for you guys coming ahead. Oh, I have more interviews that I'll be kind of weaving in, as well as some more topics that are kind of going far afield from, you know, typical flow dreaming stuff because I'm getting really interested in, well, things outside of my core message. So I hope you guys will become interested with me too and kind of follow me into these new spaces. Talk about reinventing ourselves. I think Ariel's right. You know, the whole world is reinventing itself right now. A lot of us have gotten to a kind of breaking point, a point of overwhelm with all that's being asked of us. And I see a real big shift coming. And I don't mean a scary shift like world economy meltdown type thing. I see a different kind of shift. Something where we put a stop to a lot of stuff and we just say enough, 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 enough of the overwhelm, enough of the disconnection, enough of the fear, enough of, frankly, things like social media, things that pull and tug on us, I think we're going to say enough. And this is a theme that you'll hear me talk more and more about going forward. It's something I had a really lovely, nice, long talk with my mom about it over the weekend. And we were absolutely in agreement. Something is changing. And she said to me, Summer, you just got to go with it wherever it takes you. And I said, okay, I'm off for the ride. So me and you both, Melanie, we're both along for the ride into the what's next. Where are we going? How are we reinventing? How are we growing into the next phase of everything that we are? So keep that in mind. Maybe you are too. And maybe that'll be another podcast topic coming up. In the meantime, I love all of you guys. And I will see you next week for another episode of Flow. Hey everyone, thanks for listening today. One request before you go. Please rate this podcast either in iTunes or TuneIn.com or wherever you listen to it. It'll only take you a minute to do, but your rating there is the number one way that other people discover this show. And the more ratings, the more people who will find and get turned on to Flow Dreaming. While you're there, you might also want to download my free Flow Dreaming podcast app. With this app, you can listen to the show anywhere you want on your mobile device, as well as search through listings of all of my episodes and bookmark your favorites. And if you want to listen to Flow Dreams, actual Flow Dreams on your phone, there's even another app. It's my Player app, and it will let you browse and sample Flow Dreams from the shop. There's even an oracle inside of that app to help you see and discover what you need to know most or what Flow Dream would be best for you in your life right now. You can find these apps on iTunes or in Google or your Amazon app store. And again, thank you so much for giving back. Love you. Bye-bye.